So after that yuppie and happy, happy birthday song, dear listeners, it's time to move on and keep that momentum going. Sairam from Prashantinilayam. Sairam from Prashantinilayam, which is the most happening place on the planet. And I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, Prem and Ganesh just left after their children, sir. And your listeners, today is November 20th, 2014. And in just 2 days from now, we will celebrate the big day of this year. The day we are most grateful for. The day which has redefined our lives. The day in which we pour out our hearts in front of Him and tell Him how much He means to us. How meaningless our lives would have been if He had not allowed us to know Him, to love Him, to be touched by Him and be transformed by His love. His birthday is only a day of gratitude and a celebration of this gratitude. And it is so lovely to see Prashanti slowly getting filled up little by little, being filled up with people from all corners and all colors from all countries. We will celebrate Bhagwan's 89th birthday now. And yesterday, in a moment of inspiration, I opened the divine discourse that Swami gave on his birthday in 1989. And the opening verse of this message captured me. Swami sings in Telugu, but this is the translation of what he said in the opening verse. In the center of the earth is a place called Puttaparthi. It is here that the embodiment of the Atma decided to make his sacred entry. While mankind was seeking the knowledge of science, here a university came into existence. People from all nations gather, for they found here joy and peace unbounded. Virtuous people and noble men in hundreds and thousands thronged and filled this place to the brim. To teach the world love and also the truth of all religions, this is why Lord Sai made his advent. Satya Sai has incarnated as embodied love. You embrace all and fill every heart with bliss supreme. Satya Sai has incarnated as embodied love to embrace all and fill every heart with bliss supreme. This is the verse that Swami sang when he began his discourse. Birthday discourse in 1989. And one thing is so clear from this. If Puttaparthi is transforming today into being the epicenter of a spiritual revolution sweeping the world, if the name Sai instantly evokes the noblest of feelings in the hearts of millions, if people flock to this hamlet in hundreds and thousands seeking peace and bliss, and if scores of people in all corners of the globe, unmindful of their conveniences and constraints, are wholeheartedly extending their helping hand to millions who need support and solace without any expectation or reservation, if all this is happening, it is because of one reason. It is not because Swami blessed these people with miraculous manifestations of His power and grace, or because He cured some of them of their terminal illnesses, or because He poured vibhuti from the altars of their homes, or because He came in their dreams and guided them about their most pressing problems, not even because He built institutions which are nothing short of modern miracles in mammoth social service, not because of His masterly discourses which were enlightening and His singing which is electrifying. All this happens because, as He said, He is embodied love. Everything flows from here. Everything is a consequence of this truth. Everything we experience is only a reflection of this, a concretization and a validation of this profound primeval truth. And the truth is, He is embodied love. Way back in the 60s, Swami once said, "I cannot hate even if I want to. I just cannot hate." Everyone sees the world through their own glass. Some wear worry glasses, others wear greed glasses, some wear envy glasses, and someone else wears the glasses of pride. But Swami said, "I wear only love glasses. That is my nature." And once we come to His fold, what happens to us? What happens to us is also this. We slowly shed our worry glasses. We slowly remove our desire glasses. We slowly take out our jealousy glasses. We slowly distance ourselves from our anger glasses. We slowly no longer have our pride glasses. We remove our ego glasses and we begin to wear our love glasses. Initially, we wear it intermittently for small periods of time. We like it when we wear it. But because of circumstances, because of our habits, we get carried away, and unconsciously, by force of habit, we don't know how it happens, but suddenly we have changed our love glasses into anxiety glasses, into anger glasses, and so on. And once this happens, restlessness sets in, our mind gets confused and confounded, and then suddenly we realize, oh, all this is happening because I have misplaced my love glasses. And we go and bring it back and we put it on, and then the world again begins to look beautiful for us. Every time we meet a devotee or attend a satsang, what is it that we discuss? We only share the stories of our love glasses, isn't it? What we have seen through these love glasses. The experiences that have come to us once we wear these glasses. Because once you have the love glasses in front of your eyes, the other eye, the ego eye, goes. Your E by E, that eye becomes powerful because that eye is seen through love. And everything becomes just love. Love and love. And dear listeners, this is what we experience when we are in Prashant Nilayam, when we are in His divine presence. And the feeling is even more intense during a festival like birthday celebrations, because there are so many here wearing those love glasses and so happily, heartily sharing the stories of their love glasses. And they come from all over the world. The birthday celebrations in Prashanti started on November 17th. With a soulful concert by young artist, a child prodigy in violin by name Sai Rakshit from Chennai. Rakshit started playing violin when he was just 6. He gave his first concert when he was 9. And since then, he has won many awards. The first prize in violin competition held in Mailapur Fine Arts during November 2011. The Bala Bhaskara Award for the best violinist for 2012 from VTS Academy. He was selected as the best accompanist by Tyaga Brahma Gana Sabha in 2013, and so on. The awards are so many. And he's currently learning under the legendary Kalaimamani Kanyakumari Madam. But what touched me deeply about Rakshit is his love glass story. The way Swami has touched him, and how much he feels for him, and how he is convinced of who he is and what he is for him. I had the chance to have a conversation with him after his program on November 17th. And this is what I'm going to play for you. It is fresh. I'm going to play for you parts of this sweet conversation. And then I will also play for you a short conversation I had with another youngster, Sainath, teenager. Sainath, who the young Mridangit, the young artist who was on the ghatam accompanying Sai Rakshit. And when I spoke to him and I heard about his relationship with Swami and the way he feels for him, dear listeners, It was absolutely moving. We feel so happy that people, teenagers, when they have a million distractions, are so focused on Bhagwan. It was a treat to speak to them. So I'm going to play for you these beautiful conversations, and after that, we'll move on to something very interesting. Yes, we are going to have a session, guess what, on Sai Humor. Yes, this is Swami's birthday, and what is a birthday without joy, without undiluted ananda with him, without laughing with him and relishing his jokes and his repartees, his retorts and his sweet mischiefs. So that is what we are going to have, a session of Sai Humor, and in the last part of this program today, we are going to listen to a beautiful original song sent to us by a devotee from Kannur district of Kerala by name Miss Josna. This is one of the submissions made in response to our request for original bhajan compositions in October 2014, and I love this beautiful song, and I preserved it to play it today. During his birthday celebrations, during this time. So today is going to be a potpourri of offerings of love. As you listen to this live broadcast on this beautiful Thursday, as we await the dawn of November 23rd, 2014, and all of this coming to you straight from the hearts of so many in Radio Sai, from the studio where Bhagwan himself had come and blessed nearly 12 years ago. And we are so happy that this Thursday Live continues from the same sacred spot. Thursday Live, the way we connect live with you from his home, his abode.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, and welcome to a potpourri offering of love celebrating his 89th birthday. I'm Team Marissa. As Bishu, the time in the studio now is 8:47, and we begin, as I mentioned, with a conversation with the child prodigy violinist Sai Rakshit, who played in front of Bhagwan just 2 days ago on November 17th, 2014. Sai Rakshit is just 14 years old now and is among the best young violinists of India. Sai Ram, Sai Rakshit, and a warm welcome to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram.
We just are coming from Sai Kulanthal after your thrilling performance, and I should tell you that it almost seemed like Bhagwan's students are performing. The students of Bhagwan's music college are performing. And this is
Swami's grace.
Such a beautiful curtain raiser
for Bhagwan's 89th birthday celebrations. It begins with your concert. And in fact, one of your accompanists was from Bhagwan's Music College. And you know, you could visualize seeing Bhagwan, you know, and enjoying everything that you are offering with so much love. So how did it feel for you? I mean, for us, it was really very, very beautiful, very moving experience. How was it for you?
Playing in front of Bhagwan is always the best experience one can ever get. It is indescribable. It is the best experience. You always have that. It doesn't matter who you are, but when whatever field you get into, you always want to do it in front of Bhagwan and get his blessings. And so it's not an experience that can be described with words.
And you are someone who had the chance to offer physically your music in the physical presence of Bhagwan so many times. And perhaps when you sit there, do those memories flood your mind?
Absolutely. And each time is a new experience as well. Every time you always experience Swami being with you and carrying you forward. It is Swami who plays for you and does everything. We have no control over it. But anytime being in front of Swami, and it's always the best experience one can ever get. It's nothing is better than that. It doesn't matter. And playing in front of the physical presence is something unimaginable. It's what everyone dreams about. And because of Swami's grace and daya, I was able to do it. So
you remember the first time you played in front of Bhagwan?
Yeah, yes. So it all started because of my uncle. His name is Ravi Shankar. So there's this group in Kanchipuram, Swami's group, who had this opportunity to perform in front of Swami. And they were looking for a violinist. Mm-hmm. And my uncle used to stay there. And he told them that I can play violin a bit. And Shyam Sundar, Swami's student, so he came to our house and he listened to me play. And that was how I got into this.
Mm-hmm.
And every day we used to have a practice. We would practice for a long time. And every day we used to learn new things, because it was the experience. It was what everyone dreamed about. It was playing in front of Bhagwan. So we all worked really hard. And coming here, and the first time, yeah, it was in 2008. And I didn't know the value of that too much. But my father is an ardent devotee of Swami, and he always used to say, this is the highest of levels. So do well, practice well. So I used to practice every day for that, and we came here, we performed, and it was the most blissful experience. So
you were 9 years old then?
Yeah, I was 9 years old. So
and you had the chance to offer your music to Bhagwan.
Yeah.
Amazing. It must have been really a life-defining moment. As you said, probably you didn't realize it then.
Yeah, but that is the inspiration that kept me motivated to learn more and more. Every time I take the violin, it's with the goal that I should play in front of Swami again. So that was the inspiring moment for me to keep learning and keep doing more practice to play in front of Swami again. That was the ultimate dream. And thanks to Shyam Ammana again, I was able to do it in 2009 with the same group.
Wow. So do you remember what you played the first time you had the chance to offer your music to Bhagwan?
First time we all played as a group. So there was this Muruga song I still remember, Tiruchandur in Kadalorathil, which comes in Mohana Ragam.
Okay.
And there was this small little fillers I used to play. And for the second time, there was this song in Averi Ragam. So I was given this intro piece, which I was told to play by Shyam Anna. And this was like a very challenging piece for me then. So I was so nervous when we were about to play it with Swami. And the piece goes like this. It was...
Sure. Yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you. it used to go like this, and they'll start the song. Maname ganamum maravade jagadishan malarpadame. So this was the first piece I was, the first solo piece I was able to play to Swami. So this song I will never forget. And also that time we sang Muttai Thirubatti Thirunagayatti Thirushakti. And Yanta Manchiti Po Swami's own composition.
Yeah. So. Oh yeah, play that. The manchitipu, the sweetness of the Lord, and it is this sweetness that you always long for, right? And you yes. came back to Parthi again and again.
Yeah,
every time. So what are your memories of the next opportunities after 2008? I think practically every year you have come back to Bhagwan.
Yeah, again because of Swami's grace and His daya, I was able to come back again in 2009, as I told you, and in 2010 we performed a Tyagaraja Vaibhavam in front of Swami, 24th April 2010. It was like a proper concert format with, we were all 10, 11 and 12,
yeah,
I guess.
I remember all the artists were between 9 and 14 years.
Yeah, 9 and 14 years, and we presented a garland of Tyagaraja Kritis to Swami. He sang Jagadananda Karaka, Sai Vignesh. And after that, Swami called us and He gave us safaris. And then we were allowed to perform two more songs. And Swami then asked us to sing a bhajan. So we performed Ishwaramba Priyanandana. After that, Swami called us and He asked us our names and told us that He'll be calling us every year. Mm-hmm. And since then, He has been doing so. So
wow, He told you He's going to call you every year.
Yeah, He'll be calling us. And He'll be calling us frequently, that is what He told us. Wow. And He told us that we should come and play every time. So,
and that was the best. Doing that, and He's been giving you those chances.
Exactly, yeah.
Amazing. In fact, you came back once again that year.
Yeah, the same year. That was a Balavika's alumni program. There was this actual slokas which was composed into different tunes by Sri Krishnamurti ji. So children from actually different states came. So yes. Sai brothers and sisters from Assam and I guess Delhi as well. So they all came for a convention.
Yes.
And there was also all the alumni students who all sang. Then Sai brothers from the north sang few things, and we performed a few slokas. Gajananam Buddha Gadadi Sevitam. It was all Ragamalika, and we performed this. Then Swami asked me to play. I was given a piece then. I was allowed to play Nagumomu Ganalene in Aberi Ragam in front of Swami. So I played that song, and Swami told me to play another song. So I played the bhajan Sai Mata Pita Dina Bandhu Saka in front of Swami. It is there. And after that, the proceedings were over. They sang few bhajans. When a student went to Swami with the usual, he gave a rose to Swami, and Swami didn't give the rose back to him. He took the rose and he kept it. And the student came back. And the bhajans were going on. And during the aarti, Swami called me. So I went there, He gave me the rose, He patted me on the cheek.
Wow.
And He told me to take Pada Namaskar. So that was the most blissful experience ever that I've ever experienced.
Amazing. So that fragrance of His love is with you all the time.
Yeah.
In the form of that rose, He gave it to you.
Exactly.
And can you imagine now that was the last opportunity you had with Bhagwan?
No.
Or did you come again before Bhagwan's physical...
No, Imagine. I was, unfortunately, I wasn't able to come.
But now when you think about it, that was the last opportunity that you had with Bhagwan, and He gave you a rose.
It was unbelievable. I'm still in awe about it. So, because none of us, I wasn't expecting anything. I was just sitting there So we were sitting in like this circle, semicircle rather.
An arc.
Yeah, and I was the one closest to Swami, because I was sitting here, then the Mridangam was sitting, then the Ghatam was sitting, then the singers were sitting straight to Swami, then the lady singers.
Yes.
So I was the one closest to Swami, so I was just looking at Swami the whole time, and Swami called me, gave me this rose, and I didn't even realize what happened. Then only everything came into me, so... Yes.
I know, at that moment, you know, you stop thinking.
Yeah, you just go to the divine,
absolutely.
The ultimate, and...
Yes, I mean, you are so much in days and so much in now, and so much lost,
so lost
when you are in front of Him.
So lost in His love, so...
Yes, yes. But these are those eternal springs of love, you know, which will inspire you for your entire life.
Exactly, it will always.
Amazing. So, you had the chance to play Sai Mata Pita.
Yes.
That was... Perhaps the last time you played in front of Bhagwan.
Swami's physical.
And isn't that so significant? You played Sai Mata Pita.
Yeah, I played it again today.
Adoring Him as the mother and father and your friend and everything.
Yeah, He is everything.
He is everything. And you got the chance to express it through music the last time you had the chance to perform in front of Him. Why don't you just play that?
Sure.
That was a Balvikas alumni meet, right?
Yes.
So you were a student of Balvikas?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
From your childhood?
My mom wanted me to join Balvikas, and I think 6 is the eligible age to enter. So as soon as I turned 6, the first thing my mom did was join me into Balvikas.
Wow.
My mom was a Balvikas teacher as well. She was an Anantapur student.
Oh, okay. Your mother studied in Anantapur?
Yeah, my mother and her sister studied in Anantapur.
Wow.
So, she also used to take Balavikas, and her student is taking Balavikas, so...
Amazing.
Yeah, so, I started Balavikas when I was 6, from the beginning. And I just wrote my Group 3 exam and with Swami's Daya finished it.
Oh, you completed your course?
Yeah, completed my course just this year.
Wow, amazing. So, in all these years of being in the Balvikas, what are your takeaways? What is it that you really liked about Balvikas?
First of all, it was the first time that I ever learned something with so much of fun and so much of interest. Because at that age, when I was first put to, I was first put into vocal classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not too interested in it because the gurus used to be a little strict and I had to learn, I had to practice. But this is the first class that I ever enjoyed going to.
Balvikas.
Balvikas was something that I really enjoyed going to because it was this value games that always added to it. So I used to anticipate and wait for Balvikas every week. It was on every Sunday at 10. So... because of all the stories that the gurus used to tell us about Swami, and I was very interested in Swami's leelas, and because from my very young time, my dad and my mom used to tell me so many stories about Swami. So learning more about these stories, as well as learning bhajans and Vedas, as well as playing these games. So it was all in one pack, I guess.
Wow. So it was fun time, and it was a time also to know more about Bhagwan's...
Yeah, it was fun learning. Fun. This was the only learning that I really wanted to. At that time, I was really not interested in school. I really, absolutely like any kid. So this was the only one class that I always wanted to go. And it started from there. And,
wow. And there was music also in Bhagwan.
Yes, there was music. Because I used to play violin, and they used to, every Samiti anniversary, they used to give me this small slot to play violin.
Wow.
And that is where I guess I learned lots of bhajans, and I was the one who used to put jalra there, because I used to really like doing that as well. So, yeah, so every anniversary I was allowed to play violin, and...
The Samiti anniversary.
The Samiti anniversary. And yeah, that was the experience to look. And as well as we always had this Nirmor campaign, the Nirmor service.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is the service?
Buttermilk service, okay. Rather. Okay. So we go out and we serve buttermilk to everyone who come. That too, this happens during April, and in Chennai it's okay. hottest.
Yes.
So whenever it's like really hot, we used to do this Nirmor service every Sunday. So they'll all come, and we used to serve them more buttermilk. So that was something that I really look forward to.
So you love that service aspect.
Yeah, it was two things: the service aspect as well as drinking the Nirmor. So
yeah, wow. I mean, there are so many things that Balikas really interested you. You know, one thing was there was fun, and then there was music, and then there was the seva. Wow. And I think that is the reason why you never left Balikas.
No, I never left.
As you're saying, you know, Balikas also gave you this opportunity to play violin.
Yeah, those were the first opportunities that were given, and that was also another reason why I was able to come and play in Swami's presence.
Yes,
because they wanted someone in the Swami circle to yes. play violin. So
wow. But when did this love for violin really start? I mean, you said that you were not very interested in vocal, but your parents put you into vocal. But when did you really feel that, you know, violin is your call?
I always liked music, because my we have our house bhajans, and my dad sings really well. He also plays the harmonium. And my grandma always used to keep me occupied with music. So I was interested in music, but not to that level in vocal, because I was more intrigued in learning instruments. So the first time I played an instrument was a keyboard. There was a small keyboard in our house, and my dad was the one who taught me to play Janagana Madanati.
Okay.
And
started with the national
anthem. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
Yeah. So
the usual things.
That is what I started with, and I wanted to learn keyboard as well. So when my dad asked few of his friends, they told it's better to put him into Western keyboard because it will be better. So I entered Western keyboard. But my dad also wanted me to learn something Carnatic. So he just asked me out of random. I don't know when this happened or how this happened. So he just asked me, what instrument do you want to play? And I said violin, it seems. So
you don't even know.
I don't even know why I said violin. Maybe I would have watched some concert or something. So I was just intrigued into this instrument. So I just told violin. And the very next day itself, I think he took me to a class and he put me into it. My first guru, Shri T.V. Ramani sir. He was T.V. Gopalakrishnan sir's brother. So he was my first guru. And my dad didn't know the procedures, because there was no one who went to these classes. So he didn't know the procedure of getting fruits for the guru and Vetala Pak for the guru, because you always offer that and then you start learning. So he put me into this. Then the guru was just in the waiting lobby. So my dad went in and he talked to the receptionist about this. This is like an academy. So he talked to the receptionist about it, and told the receptionist that I want to learn violin. And she told my dad then that you have to buy all these before coming. But my guru, he was like, ippadala vandam, ni aparam vaanko, you just come and learn. So basically he told me to just come and learn. He just took me with both hands and started teaching me.
He had not even seen me.
He had never seen me. That was the first time he saw me. He just told me, come, I'll start teaching you. There's no need for these things.
No need of the rituals.
And he just took me with both hands and he has always guided me since.
Wow.
So that was how Sai Rakshit's journey in violin began, and after that he was blessed to eventually become a student of Kanyakumari Ma, the legendary violinist. In fact, Kalemamani Kanyakumari mother had come here to perform along with the great saxophone legend Kadri Gopalnath a couple of months ago to Prashant Nilayam, and it was Sai Rakshit's opportunity to become her student, and from then on his learning has only improved by leaps and bounds. And then as the interview went on, he shared about what he has learned from this revered guru, not only about music but also about life. And then he went on to reflect on his relationship with Bhagwan now and the opportunities that have started coming his way, and then how he feels about Bhagwan's presence now.
If someone had to ask you, who is God, or how do you think we can please God, how do you think we can attain God, what are your thoughts?
It's a very broad concept, isn't it? Like, everyone has their own views. Swami is God, and I don't think I can define God.
Yes. Swami
is God. That's the only thing. And He's the one who guides us, and He's the one who we are to follow and reach Him.
Wow.
So, that would be this. So, for that you have to do sadhana, seva, like Swami says. Follow whatever Swami tells us to do. That's the way to reach God. So that would be my opinion.
Amazing. I think, that's all. Life is very simple.
Yeah.
When you have that clarity, as a 15-year-old, you have this clarity. I think that is His blessing. Yeah, and you said we need to follow Swami. Can you tell me what is that one or two things of Swami's teachings that you like the most and you definitely want to follow all your life?
Anything Swami says is something that makes you want to follow it. And I don't think I can point one or two. But even then, the first saying I guess was, help ever hurt never, right? So that was the first saying I ever heard. So that very concept intrigued me. So that is something that I would like to follow, because I know even Swami says that even if you can't help a person, don't be of a hindrance to him. So that is one thing that I would try to follow with Swami's help, and love all, serve all, everything. I guess all His teachings are something to be followed, and something that with His grace and with His daya, I hopefully can try and follow it a bit. And
wonderful. If you want to express your love for Swami through music, if I tell you that, okay, Bhagwan comes here now and play Rakshit anything that you love the most, what would you like to offer to him?
Oh, when I guess in 2009 or something, my dad showed me a recording of, he sang Jagadodharna in front of Swami in Bangalore, and I still remember Swami was in his wheelchair then. So he came down and he told the students to make him get up from the chair, and he stood in front of the singer and listened to it for the whole part of it, and blessed him. The students even offered him a chair to sit, and they offered him a hand, but he just said no, and he just stood in front and listened to the whole song and then sat. It was in Bangalore. I don't remember the singer's name properly. Kavalam Shri Kumar. Exactly. Kavalam Shri Kumar. So that was the song that inspired me a lot. So if Swami were to come, I guess I would play the same.
Please, if you don't mind, if you can. render that.
Swami told him, keep coming. You're going to come and play every year. And he's been doing that so diligently. Right from 2009, almost every year he has come to Prashanti. And that is what he shared later in the interview, that there's nothing more for him to achieve. And I asked him, what is it that he wants to accomplish in his career? He said, nothing. I just want to come every year and play in Prashanti. And I will keep practicing. I will see wherever it takes me. But my only goal is that I should come to Prashanti every year. Nothing else. And accompanying Sai Rakshit was another musician, another young artist, Sri Sainath. A very talented ghatam player. He's learned from Padma Shri Vikku Vinayakam and Shri V. Umashankar. And he also has had very beautiful moments with Swami. Here is one. Listen to this.
Sai Ram Sai Nath, and a warm welcome to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, brother.
You had the chance today to perform in the Sai Kulwanth Hall.
Yeah.
This was the first program of the 89th birthday celebrations, and you had the chance to accompany Sai Rakshit in the performance. So how was it for you? What is it that you're going to take back with you from today's experience?
Just love, Swami. Today's concert is a dream come true. Actually, 2 days or 4 days before, Rakshit's father called my father and asked that there's a concert for Rakshit in Sai Kulwanth Hall. Can your son play? My father actually I'm having my semester exam. Today I'm having an exam, so I have left. As Rakshit's uncle says, I have left a small penny for an empire of cosmic power.
Wow. Wow.
So I said my dad that nothing is important for me. Swami first, everything next. Like that, my policy is that. But by Swami's grace, this is my sixth concert in Kulwantal. But even though I am playing concerts outside in Chennai, like that, but when I come to play a concert before Swami, there's like something I have to play good. As there's a policy of in concert in Kulwantal means not a concert, any program before Swami is not pleased to, is to please Swami and not the audience. So even though he's sitting in omnipresence, but it's something like what to say, fear. I have to please Swami. If he gets disappointed by my playing, what would happen? So that's my main aim. That's why before in Kulwantal, before all the songs today I played, I used to close my eyes and Swami, please play on behalf of me. Even though I am playing for you, I should not play anything wrong which disappoints you.
Like it is paramount that it has to be your best whenever you're performing in front of Bhagavan.
Yeah. It should not be my best. It should be like by Swami. That's it.
It should be something that he
likes. Even I play a little, it should be, he should like it. Yeah. He should be happy.
Should be up to his expectation and his liking.
That's it.
So you must be having wonderful memories of playing so many times in front of Bhagavan.
Yeah. My first concert in Sai Kulwantal was on 24th April 2010. Mm. Actually, that concert was on 14th April. Swami has went to Delhi that year, so it was postponed to 24th. And for that concert, I had to go for an audition in Chennai. And it was filtered. And last I was selected. I got a call from the judges that you are selected for playing before Swami. The plan was that we had many rehearsals. I used to, me and my dad and my mother used to go in his scooter, take the gadam, go to Vadapayani, there's some samitis. So and we used to practice there, and we had planned that my guru is Padmashri T.H. Vikramanayakaram, and his uniqueness is in his playing is he used to throw the gadam in air and catch it. So it is his uniqueness. What my mother gave, this idea was given by mother, you do like that, it would be a different thing before Swami. Swami would like it. In the language of music, we used to say that Korvai. Mm-hmm. Korvai, in that only he used to catch that gatam. So we planned a Korvai for that, especially for that, so that it I can throw the gatam in the air and catch it. And I did not see Swami when I threw that. First of all, when that was the first time I saw Swami so closely. Usually, I started coming to Parthi from 2000-2001. I used to come for Navaratri leave, that is that quarterly leave.
How old were you then?
Yeah, that 2001 I was some 6 years, 5 years.
Mm.
So that time I used to sit at last Kulwantal near that water tank. So I used to sit there and see Swami. I used to jump, see Swami, and that was the first time in my life I saw Swami. I was seeing like that, I was seeing Swami as if I have not seen anything before. So I was seeing like that, and so I played that Korvai, and I did not see Swami. I was concentrating on that Korvai. So Swami started laughing.
Hmm.
Swami started laughing and told in Tamil, if you see that video, they kept a close-up on Swami. Swami told in Tamil, Podum. Podum means, okay, stop. It's enough.
I mean, you don't have to do these antics.
Not antics. It was a weight. Actually, Ghatam is a weight. So, I played this in 9th to 10th, that summer leave. Mm. It was during that summer leave and I passed from 9th to 10th.
Mm.
So, it was an weight. Many of them should make fun of me that I am, Ghatam is bigger than me. So Swami laughed and said, Podum. I knew that meaning, that what I have done is after that concert, when Anil Kumar sir came running after Swami went and he came and hugged me. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, do you know what you have done?
Mm-hmm.
You have achieved a big thing in your life, that I have never seen Swami laughing like this for the past 4 years. This is after 4 years, I have seen Swami laughing like this.
So heartily Swami laughing.
That when you laugh, that body would shake, no?
Yeah.
So like that Swami laughed at that time, when I threw the ghatam on there.
Wow.
And he came running and hugged me and he caught hold of my shoulders and did like this, do you know what you have done in your life? So at that time I knew the meaning, what I have done. Till date I have, that is the only achievement which I have done, and there's nothing. Even if I do anything after, in the future also, that is the only thing. No, nothing.
Nothing can match that.
Yeah. It is an achievement, that's it.
Wasn't that an amazing achievement to remember, cherish, relish and relive? And as I was talking to Sainath, he started narrating about his love for Bhagwan, and it is at that point that I was really moved, because he is someone who practically every moment he imagines that Swami is with him, and that is how he wants to lead his life. In fact, he told me, I'm a crazy fellow. I confess I'm mad. I'm madly in love with him. And whatever I do, I just imagine he's with me. And I imagine how it will be if he also is with me doing this.
God's grace is always very unexpected.
Yeah.
But it always leaves you thrilled at the end of it. And that is what has happened today also. Amazing.
That's it. Even sometimes I used to think, if I take Swami on a doubles in my bike.
He's very much the hair part of you. He's the one who's playing through you.
No, I used to think if Swami sits in an orange robe in back of my bike, I and he, as he likes driving. So, I used to think, how if I go in an empty road with Swami enjoying.
You know, life cannot get anything better, you know, brother. Because if you all the time have him as your friend, that is one of the most
As I heard,
beautiful
in
relationships.
One of the fleeting moments, lasting memories, where Vijay Sai sir says, "Have you experienced him as a god? No, I have experienced him as a love.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Not as a god. Do you know him as a god? No, I don't know.
Yes.
As he says.
But that is the most beautiful relationship.
Yeah."
So that's a small excerpt, just to let you know how much this teenager feels for Bhagwan and how much he's made him a part of his life. And the blessing that Bhagwan has conferred on him, Bhagwan gave him the chance to do something which gladdened him. He's perhaps one of those rare persons on earth who has made Bhagwan cry. All of us made Bhagwan cry, but he's someone who has made Bhagwan laugh. He's made Bhagwan laugh heartily. There are very few people on earth who make Bhagwan laugh. We all make Bhagwan cry. Because we go and pour out our problems. And he only gets more moved. But this boy, out of his immense love for Bhagwan, had that opportunity to make Bhagwan laugh. And laugh so much that Swami said, okay, it's enough. And it is such blessed souls who have had the chance to perform during his birthday celebrations. To start his birthday celebrations, the 89th birthday celebrations. And dear listeners, after this, in this episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we are going to now move on to something very interesting, as I mentioned to you. We'll continue this theme of laughter, taking on from Sainath, and we will listen to the humor that life treats us with when we are with Bhagwan. Here is an episode of Sai Humor.
Yes, a nice incident. It was holidays time and very few of us were there in the Brindavan.
Okay.
And Swami distributed individually to all of us wafers, biscuit to eat. And then Swami was looking at it, hey, how do you people eat all these things? Different types of food has come and all that Swami is telling. And broke one wafer and then he held it in his hand and just blew it. It became an emerald.
Oh.
It was almost some two and a half inches to 3 inches in size, green color stone.
Okay.
Big it was. And then Swami took a cover and then he tried to put it inside and dropped it.
Okay.
As if by mistake it has fallen down.
Correct.
Then he told her, give it back. The place where it fell, the boy was sitting there and then he kept on searching, he didn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, Donga, where you kept it? Give it, don't take it.
Don't
very costly,
thief.
Very costly.
A thief. Give.
So, and he tried his level best, he lifted his leg, turned this side, turned that side. Finally, I was sitting somewhere in the third row. Where Swami was sitting in the jula, from their third row. And behind me somewhere, fourth or fifth row, one sound came on the floor, tadak, like that it fell on the floor. And then a boy from there picked up that emerald piece.
I see.
It is here. Donga, so fast you passed it there.
I see.
That's what Swami told. And then he said, give it back. And then it came back to Swami. And then Swami again held it in his hand and then just blew it. It turned back into wafer.
Wow.
And he gave it to that boy who was tensed up so much and then told him, eat it. And he was eating it in front of Swami. And then Swami told, ippudu chudu, malla marchistanu.
I'll change it again.
Yes. Again, I'll change it to emerald.
His teeth will break.
It was a nice incident. Everybody was laughing there. And then.
Amazing. I'm reminded of a similar thing which happened once. Swami was in Coimbatore, if I'm not wrong. There's a devotee, Mr. Naidu, from Coimbatore. And, you know, he had organized this a session for all the boys where we are serving food and all that. And that day, puris were served. And Swami went to Mr. Naidu and told, be careful with your puris, Swami told.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, the puris are all puffed up, very nicely done. And so when he broke the puri, from there he saw that inside the puri is a diamond ring encased in gold, which Swami had given him. Swami had given him many years ago. And he had gone to Japan or some place and he had, in a hotel where he was staying, he had misplaced it and that had gone to the wash basin and, you know, he searched so much to get it, he could not get it. So that was lost years ago. And suddenly when he broke the puri, that ring came. And then after that, Swami was walking and Swami was returning and, you know, Anil Kumar sir was sitting there and he was not eating the puri, sir. Why are you not eating? You know, Swami, I don't know what will be there inside this puri. I have to be extremely careful. In fact, talking about food, again like this, you know, once Bhagwan had taken a few boys, you know, when Bhagwan, when you are traveling with Bhagwan, you know, he really, he's a mega host and he will continuously keep feeding you. You will never feel you lack anything in life. So that day before the flight, you know, Bhagwan had already served breakfast and in the flight they had breakfast. And then once they got down there, they were supposed to go to Salem. So Salem devotees, out of their love, again they had arranged a breakfast. And the boys, they already had like 2-3 times they had already had eaten food. And you know how Bhagwan will keep stuff in the vehicles also. There's no inch of space left. And the food was served now in Salem. And they had made like a lavish banquet of 25 items were there. So Bhagwan came and Swami told, you should not waste food. All of you should eat, see so much love they have made and all that. Annam Brahma, etc. And then, Mr. Deepakan told me this. And Swami started inspecting, you know, all the boys are sitting there. And there's one boy who could not really eat anything more. So what he had done was, they had served in plantain leaves. So what he had taken is, he had taken all the food and he sort of collected all the food to one side and taken the plantain leaf and
closed it.
He had covered it neatly as if, you know, he's finished food. Just like, I think that's the tradition in plantain leaf.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Once you finish the food, then you close the other half of the plantain leaf and you're done with it. So that was going, so he did that and he was, you know, communicated that, you know, I'm done with the food and I've eaten everything. And then Bhagwan came that side. And Bhagwan came with the convener. And Swami said, my boys, very disciplined, very nice boys, you know. And how much they are liking your food you have made. And Swami came to this boy. He was sitting next to Deepak Anand. I mean, to this boy. No boy wastes food. Very good boy, Swami told. And Swami put his hand into this plantain leaf where this boy had to put all the food.
Hidden the food.
And you know, you can imagine. You can imagine he's almost got a convener and he's showcasing his voice and his heart almost skipped beat.
In his mouth.
Really hard on his mouth. Really. Swami opened the plant and he's thinking, now what is going to happen? It is a disgrace. You know.
Right.
So he saw me open the plantain leaf, and to his utter amazement, it was empty.
Nothing was
there. Oh my God.
Nothing was there. He was like shocked. So what is happening? Because Deepak Anand, who was there sitting next to him, saw this. He was telling me. And then Swami walked. And after Bhagwan went a few paces, he opened and he saw
everything.
All the food was there.
There.
See?
I think it is trying to tell, I know what you did. And also keep up his word to exhibit to the convener. Yes. My boys are good.
Amazing. I mean, I remember again when very humorous incident connected like this with food. Actually, you know, this boy who had put on a lot of weight and, you know, Swami always used to instruct him not to eat so much food and, you know,
sweet.
Control. Yeah, especially sweets. Sweets really add so much calories, you know. I mean, so always sort of advise him and reprimand him and tell him to, you know, look at his weight and, you know, don't be such a football-like a structure. But he had this weakness for sweets and can never control that. So he was with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal and you know, he should always also try to position himself as far as possible from Swami so that no one is looking at what he's eating, how much he's eating. No control. So that day he had taken his spot in the corner of the dining hall in Kodaikanal. And before, you know, Kodaikanal food is already served. When you go there, it's like on the plates, food is already served. And he saw that there's a huge laddu there that they served. And he was like waiting to have that food. And so Bhagwan comes, Swami inspects everything. And, you know, Swami, he goes back and Swami says, start Brahmarpanam. And all of you, you have to close your eyes during Brahmarpanam. So obviously, he's closing and he's waiting to open. And he's just waiting for the mantra to get over so that, you know, he can just have this laddu. And Brahmarpanam gets over, he opens his eyes and his plate is empty. That laddu had disappeared. And he's telling all the fellows, hey, come on man, hey, give me my laddu man, hey, who's taken man, hey, come on man. He's desperately trying to know who is that fellow who has taken off my laddu. And then Swami, who was there from far, Swami says, What happened? Swami is asking. I said, no, nothing, Swami. And then he notices that Bhagwan's cook, who was standing behind Swami, he's indicating to him through his eyes that it was Bhagwan who took that laddu.
When he was doing Brahmarpanam.
When Brahmarpanam was doing. Brahma had really come and taken.
So the offering is done properly.
Complete offering.
And then the guy is asking back.
I mean, to what extent Bhagwan, you know, he goes to teach us that lesson. But, and you know, at that point, that boy also thought, if Bhagwan, you know, if he goes to this extent to ensure that I don't put on weight, then, you know, I should do that. He took it more seriously than before.
And stop eating more sweets.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are so many instances like that. I think every time Bhagwan has created something, and you would find there's always so much fun to it.
See, either through seriousness or through humor, when Swami is trying to teach us, it's only to ensure that lesson goes deep into our heart.
Yes.
And the best way is to remove the mind when he is giving the message.
Correct.
So, through humor or through seriousness or by sometimes even, you know, through creations will bring in that awe. Basically, yes. Swami moves the mind aside.
Silence your mind.
So that, you know, message goes to your heart.
See,
because finally the intention is to give that useful and divine message.
Yes. Amazing. And Bhagwan does it amazingly. that is the thing. I remember Bhagwan narrating this story of two miser. Mm-hmm. Two misers. Now, just to tell us to what extent greed can take us. And I think probably we should listen to Bhagwan narrating that.
Yes.
Because the way Bhagwan explains it, only he can do it. And if you listen to that, I think whenever you are greedy in your mind, this will definitely surface in your in your mind.
Oka gramamlo,
in a village,
lobhi mahalobhi,
a miser and a greater miser.
Lobhi tammudu,
miser is younger.
Mahalobhi anna,
greater miser is elder brother.
Varu kavalsinta dhanam pettukunnaru.
They amassed wealth.
Kani,
but
kaasaila kadapa daatiki baitiki velladu.
But they don't spend single pai.
Kadupunakaina kudunu sari ayinatundi bhojanam bhujincharu.
They don't eat belly full at least.
Kavalsinanta kudunu noola pettukunnaru.
They have lots and lots at home.
లైట్ ఏమైనా ఒక 5 నిమిషాలు ఎక్కువగా వెలిగిందంటే కరెంట్ ఖర్చు అవుతుందో ఏమో అని భయం.
ఇఫ్ యు ఫైండ్ లైట్స్ బర్నింగ్ ఫర్ 5 మినిట్స్ మోర్, దే ఆర్ అఫ్రైడ్ దట్ అడిషనల్ కరెంట్ మే బి కన్స్యూమ్.
ఒకనాడు,
వన్ డే,
సమీపులైనటువంటి ఒక ఇంటి లోపల ఒక గ్రామంలో ఒక వ్యక్తి మరణించాడు.
ఏ క్లోజ్ రిలేటివ్ డైడ్ ఇన్ ఏ విలేజ్ క్లోజ్ టు దిస్ విలేజ్.
ఇది తప్పనిసరిగా పల్లెల్లో పోయి మాట్లాడించవలసినటువంటిది ఒక ధర్మం.
It is a tradition in villages this to necessarily go and visit them, the bereaved family.
10 miles dooram untundali.
It is 10 miles long distance.
Bus ekkite ee 5 rupayalo kattu avutundani nadchukoni povatani prayatinchadu peddanna.
The elder brother thought if he were to travel by bus he may have to spend 5 rupees.
Ellavaru jamanne lechadu edo rendu guddalu oka bagulo pettukunnadu.
Early morning he got up. Packed 2 pairs of his clothing.
అప్పుడు తమ్ముడికి చెప్పాడు.
He told his younger brother.
ఒక చిన్న దీపమును అంటించరా, ఆయిల్ బత్తి అంటించమని చెప్పాడు.
He said, light a small lamp, the oil lamp.
ఆ ల్యాంప్ లోపల ఇవన్నీ బ్యాగులో పెట్టుకున్నాడు, సర్దుకున్నాడు, వెళ్ళాడు.
With the help of that oil lamp, he packed 2 pairs of clothing.
ఇతను వెళ్లిపోయేటప్పటికి ఈ తమ్ముడు లోపి కదా తక్షణమే ఆ దీపం మారిపోయాడు.
The younger brother is a greedy person. He has put off the lamp.
Oil cut out undo emo ani.
Because the oil may be consumed.
Tirigi oka ardha gantaku anna tirigi venaku vachadu.
The elder brother returned in half an hour's time.
Intlo 3 mile nadichi poyadu.
He walked on the way
3 mile nadichi vachadu.
And he returned all the 3 miles.
6 mile ayipoyindi.
6 miles total.
Talapu tattadu.
He tapped the door.
ఎవరు తలుపు తట్టేది అన్నాడు చిన్న తమ్ముడు.
యంగర్ బ్రదర్ ఆస్ హూ ఆర్ యూ, హూ ఇస్ టాపింగ్ ద డోర్.
నేను అన్నంరా అన్నాడు.
ఐఎమ్ యువర్ ఎల్డర్ బ్రదర్.
ఎందుకు వచ్చావు అన్నాడు.
వై హావ్ యూ కమ్.
నేను పోయే సమయం లోపల దీపము ఆరిపోయమని చెప్పలేదు, అందువల్ల దీపం వెలుగున వెలుగుతుండదు ఏమో అని చెప్పడానికి వచ్చాను అన్నాడు.
వై లీవింగ్ ది హౌస్ ఐ ఫర్గాట్ టు టెల్ యూ దట్ యూ హావ్ టు పుట్ ఆఫ్ ద ల్యాంప్, దేర్ ఫోర్ ఐ రిటర్న్ టు రిమైండ్ యూ దాట్.
అప్పుడు తమ్ముడు చెప్పాడు.
యంగర్ బ్రదర్ సెడ్,
Brother, నాకు మాత్రం అంత బుద్ధి లేదా, నీవు వెళ్లిన తక్షణమే నేను ఈ దీపం ఆర్పేశాను.
Am I not that intelligent? I had immediately put off the lamp the moment you
left. నీవు 3 మైళ్ళు వెళ్లి 3 మైళ్ళు వచ్చేసావు, ఈ 6 మైళ్ళు లోపల నీవు నడిచేటప్పుడు చెప్పులు ఎంత అరిగిపోయి ఉంటాయో, ఎంత నీవు నిశ్చుకోలేదా?
But brother, no, you walk 3 miles long and return 3 miles. Just imagine the wear and tear effect of your slippers.
స్లిప్పర్స్ అంతా ఎంత అరిగిపోయినాయో అన్నాడు.
స్లిప్పర్స్ మస్ట్ హావ్ బీన్ వార్న్ అవుట్.
అప్పుడు అన్న చెప్తున్నాడు,
దెన్ బ్రదర్,
బ్రదర్ నేను తెలివి తక్కువ కాదురా.
హి సెడ్, ఓ బ్రదర్, ఐఎమ్ నాట్ ఎ ఫూల్.
ఈ చెప్పులంతా కూడా మూట కట్టి చెంకలో పెట్టుకున్నాను.
ఐ బండిల్ ద స్లిప్పర్స్, నౌ ఐఎమ్ క్యారీయింగ్ ఇన్ మై ఆర్మ్స్ నౌ.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి లోబత్తం ఉంటే ఈ చెప్పులు ఎందుకు?
This is a miserliness. Why does he
mean? Tanu sukhapadanaatvanti yokka ee dandandemedi enduku?
If the money doesn't make you happy, why do you need it actually?
Varrukaina sukhan nandinchali.
At least make others happy.
Tanaina sukhapadali.
At least you should be happy.
Amazing.
The way Swami puts it is really
in fact I'm reminded of one occasion where Swami narrates that one person who donates money to a school, he wants that, you know, his name should be imprinted.
Correct.
In the contribution that he makes. And what's the contribution he makes? He donates fans. So he is thinking now, what is the most important area of the fan? Yeah. Where, you know, his name will always be there. So whenever people look at the fan, they should think of him. Mm-hmm. The one who has donated, the most generous person. So he, what he orders is his name be written on all the blades of the fan.
Okay.
So the fans come to the school, and so his name is shining on top in all the blades of the fan. And then when he comes to the school and he sees the fans in operation, then he realizes that once the fans rotate, then his name is not seen.
Not seen, correct.
that alarms him. What is the point of writing my name when the fan rotates and you can't see my name? So he says that fans should not be used.
So the purpose is not served.
This is Bhagwan only had narrated. I mean, there are so many. I think what we have shared today is not even
a drop
of that infinite ocean of how Bhagwan used to narrate such amazing tales. I mean, it is to make us smile, but at the same time, such a strong message, right?
Correct.
To anyone who wants to do something good.
Exactly.
And he wants to contribute. I mean, there cannot be another powerful story to tell you where you should put yourself. Instead of being a facilitator, you become the obstacle in most of our seemingly doing good acts. Amazing. And I remember how Bhagwan used to, before narrating a story, he will say, "Oka chinna katha." Before a joke, he would say, "Oka tamasha."
Ah. Yes, correct. The entire audience, no, the moment they hear "Oka chinna katha," "Oka chinna tamasha," you know that they are all very alert.
They are fresh again.
Yes. And I really want to think that, you know, every tamasha that Bhagwan shared, I would like to think that it was only to generate that asha, that desire in us for God.
Correct.
To put us onto the Godward path, you know, to help us so that he used this beautiful medium, and there cannot be a better interesting medium than humor.
Exactly.
But he used this so that, you know, all these sometimes tough lessons, sometimes beautiful lessons, sometimes really difficult lessons of life, but they somehow has to get into our beings, and he used this beautiful medium and telling us also how we should use this
simple way, and you know,
simple
through humor and
see, yes. And another thing is, no, only with Swami we find that spirituality is so much of fun.
Exactly.
Generally, when we are told at a young age when spiritual and things like that, we always imagine something very serious.
Exactly.
But once we are with Swami, spirituality is so much of fun. It is.
So much fun.
See, that's why he is Jagatguru.
It's a natural way of living. Spirituality is basically nothing you need to do.
Correct.
It's a natural way of living happily and, you know, be straightforward. Yes.
And smiling is the most natural way.
Yes.
I mean, I think that is what, if someone smiles, we don't ask why you are smiling. If someone is in sorrow, we ask why you are in sorrow.
Exactly.
I think smiling is what is natural to us.
Exactly.
That is what we should be doing all the time.
Okay, so I himself told once, you always ask a person who is sad, why you look so sad today.
Correct.
But when someone is happy, why are you happy? We never ask. Because happiness is your nature.
Nature. Exactly.
So.
And Swami was that.
Yes.
You know, Swami was that. Always happy. Eternally happy. And seeing him, we were happy. And I think it is now...
He shares that happiness with all of us.
And I think it's now our responsibility in our own small ways to spread that happiness. And they say smile is a curve that can set everything straight. and I think we should use that, learn from Bhagwan's life and see that wherever we are, in some ways, we should be able to spread that happiness around and make that way, make the little world around us a better place.
Yes. That's not the whole world. Really lived his message.
Yes.
And would have... No, that's the best way to even implement Swami's message in our, apply Swami's message to our own lives.
Yes, absolutely. And I think if you are all the time smiling, I think when people should look at us, they should say, this person is so cheerful, so smiling, so nice to talk to him. He must be a Sai devotee.
Yes.
I think that is the kind of feeling people should get. And then perhaps we would have lived up to being called his devotees or his children or his students or whatever it is. Thank you very much, Raghunath brother and Sai sir and Saram sir for taking time out and being with us.
I hope we shared this happiness with all the viewers. Listeners.
Yes. I want that the session never end, but we've been discussing for more than 2.5 hours. Somewhere we'll have to end, even good things have to end. So I hope and pray that again we can maybe sometime in the future sit down again, because I think this ocean is infinite.
It's infinite.
Bhagwan's love, Bhagwan's joy, everything is infinite. Thank you so much for being with us and for this lovely, I can only call it a satsang. It is only a satsang. It's a Sai humor satsang. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
So that was the last part of a Sai humor session that I recorded with Mr. Sai Surendranath, Mr. Sai Ram and Mr. Raghunath Sharma. The first two from the higher secondary school and Mr. Raghunath Sharma from the Institute of Higher Learning. We had the first two parts in October and September Thursday Live, and there was this 20 minutes which I had not played and had preserved it to play it now during Bhagwan's birthday, and I'm sure you enjoyed it. I know you are tempted perhaps to go back and listen to the previous episodes. We have done 2.5 hours, as I mentioned. You should enjoy, you should relish these beautiful moments when you can just let your head down and laugh with Lord. What other better joy can we have than holding our stomach and laughing at His jokes and laughing with Him? And after humor, in today's potpourri of offering of love, dear listeners, now we have a beautiful song. And this is sent to us by Miss Josna from Kannur district of Kerala. This was in response to our bhajan competition which was held in October. And she says, I came into Baba's fold a few years ago and my first trip to Puttaparthi happened in 2006 and it was a memorable one. I had come along with my friend Suchitra, who was instrumental in bringing me into this ever-growing Sai family. And during that trip, while returning by train from Puttaparthi to Bangalore, I had a short nap in the afternoon and was suddenly awakened from my sleep by the melodious singing of Sai bhajans from the adjacent bogie. I was so fascinated by the music that I was inspired by Bhagwan's grace to pen down a bhajan then and there. And I was also prompted to give it a tune. It just happened in that moment of inspiration. And when I arrived home, I just found that my head was bursting at the seams with lyrics of that bhajan that had just flowed out of me unceasingly, so spontaneously. It seemed like those bhajan lyrics were haunting me. Words just rushed inside me. And they were in me while I ate, while I walked, while I traveled, and when I was engaged in work, they just never left me, those lyrics and the tune. And so finally I penned them down in a frenzy. And by Bhagwan's grace, after a few weeks, I had this recorded by a friend of mine, Jayashri Rajiv, who is a professional singer. And once that was done, I was so happy. And the motivation for me to do this was this invitation from Radio Sai. This happened around the same time and I thought, now I have to get to record it and send it. And that is how, dear listeners, we received this lovely song. It says, Suno, suno, hey Sai, dil se kabhi na mitna. Listen to me, O Lord, please do not ever disappear from my heart. Sansar ki bandhan se kar dena paar hame. Remove us from this worldly existence. Allow us to cross this ocean of worldly life. Duniya ki janjeeron se kar lena moksha hame. Help us to get past these worldly entanglements. Hum jeena chahenge Sai naam sada japke. We love to live by only taking your name. Jaage duniya mein preet, phaile sandesh yahi. Prem hai Sai japlo, Sai naam dil mein bharlo. Chant the name of Sai. Fill your heart with His name. That is love. Share this love with the world. Suno,
Suno He Sai. Of you who understand Hindi would have loved it. And even otherwise, it has a very melodious, simple, sweet tune. Where we pray to the Lord, please listen, O Lord. Take us closer to you. Help us becoming free from the world. Help us being absorbed in you, in your love, in your name. I remember when devotees used to wish Bhagwan happy birthday on the morning of November 23rd. Bhagwan always used to lovingly retort, I am always happy. You be happy. It is you who needs to be happy. I am always happy. And when can we be happy? How can we be happy? We can be truly be happy when every time we raise our hand, we raise it for Him. Every occasion we endeavor to endure, we endure it for Him. Every instance we shed a tear, we do it only for Him. Each time we lift our voice, we lift it for Him. And every second we smile because we know He is smiling. Because He is around us, behind us, watching us, in front of us, above us, below us, with us, and most importantly, in us. If we have to be happy, all we have to do is to glow in His all pervasive, beautiful love. Know this love and glow in this love. And we will glow and shine in this love when we see Him in all and serve Him in all. Serve in His name. Shine in His love. It is there. We will experience bliss that is permanent, peace that is supreme, joy that is everlasting. This birthday is happy birthday for us. A birthday when we learn how we can be truly happy. And let us use this occasion. Festivals are occasions only for us to cement our relationship with Bhagwan. Let us use this opportunity to bring a smile on His face, and He will be happy when we are happy, and we will be happy when we know that we exist, not for ourselves, but for everyone around us. When we think not less of ourselves, but of ourselves less. So dear listeners, let us have a blissful birthday. Let us have a birthday that will redefine us, that will uplift us, and that will take us one step closer to Him. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout the day. I'm Team Radio Science Bishu. The time in the studios now is 10 o'clock and I have to wind up this whole day of lovely programs. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. It's our pleasure to listen to what you have to say and continuously work towards improving our programs. Thank you so much, dear listeners. We are ever grateful to you for having given us this chance. But for you, we would not have got this chance to be doing this wonderful seva. Thank you so much. And finally, our great heartfelt gratitude to Bhagwan for blessing us with this lovely opportunity of always being immersed in His work, in His love, in His music. So finally, wishing you all a lovely, lovely, beautiful birthday ahead and a sweet goodbye and loving Sairam from this beautiful Thursday night. Sairam.